I would invite you guys to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. And I'm just going to begin this by, I'm just going to flat out tell y'all, okay? This just might be the shortest sermon I preach. And as soon as we start and we read the first verse we're going to look at today, you might understand why. Now, I say that all the time about being short-winded and it never happens, and that'll probably be the case today as well. But, you know, I can't think of a passage or particularly a verse in Scripture that I would rather preach less than one of them that we'll look at today. And it's not because it's bad. It's not confrontational. It's not difficult. But as the pastor, I think it's a little awkward. But that's okay. We'll talk about it, and hopefully you guys will be able to trek with me through that. But, you know, as I approached this week and tried to figure out how in the world to approach this, I found myself kind of keep coming back to something very practical. And so I'm just going to tell you as we get started today that though the process by which we got to where we're at this morning is the same that I do every week, this may be more practical today than maybe some of the past sermons. Now, I hope it's practical. I hope it's applicable. I hope you guys can take truth from this. But as I often say, too, some of the things that we'll talk about here aren't just for your elders, okay? As you see, our topic this morning is handling the elders. And I could have entitled it Caring for Elders, just like last week we spoke of caring for widows. But as you'll see in a few minutes, my first point is you need to care for your elders. And so to me, as I looked at this text, the scope of what Paul was saying was bigger than just caring for your elders. And so we'll flesh this out in just a couple minutes. But I trust this morning that it's just going to be practical for you. And thinking about, you know, again, I think back to last week and even some conversations I've had since last week on how rare it is, on how few people can say, yeah, I've actually heard a sermon preached on widows and how to care for widows in the church. And it doesn't happen a lot. And that's one of the reasons that I love expository preaching, where we talked a little bit about this Wednesday night, where you just open a book of the Bible and you work through it, because you preach things that you otherwise might not preach. And truth be told, this text this morning is less likely to be preached than it is caring for widows. And so what we really got to understand here is Paul is unpacking a bigger issue here in regards to our relationships in the church. And so by way of review last week, I've already alluded to it from chapter 5, verses 3 to 16. We talked last week about caring for widows. And one of the things that we said is the reality of Scripture is the best thing for a widow is that their family would care for them. That if their family's able, that their family would care for them. But in situations where that's not the case or it's not applicable, and we talked about that last week, by and large, lots of reasons why that's not the case and why it's not possible, and that's simply because family is too busy and too caught up in our own priorities. Now, I recognize that's not always the case, but we have to be honest about that. But we also saw last week that there's the widows who don't necessarily fall strictly under the care of the church, but then we saw that there were widows who did. You know, there were some women who didn't have family to take care of them or didn't have means to support themselves, and that was when the church was commissioned to come alongside them and support them. And again, we said last week that this is a little bit different than just recognizing that there was a widow in the church and praying for them, but that it was literally, it seems, as though there was an official capacity in which widows were enrolled into the widow care program, if you will, of that local church. And so it was very serious, and they were very specific about, you know, basically, Paul talks about qualifications for elders and leadership in the church. He kind of laid out here for us last week qualifications for widows who are qualified or eligible to be under the church, the church's primary care in their lives. But again, we saw that there are widows who fall into that category and some who do not. And we come away from it last week really saying what? Just trying to be honest about the relationships in our lives. right? Maybe the widow isn't in our church. Maybe the widow is in our family. Maybe they're a part of another church. Maybe they don't go to church at all. But we still have a responsibility, having been entrusted with the gospel, to seek to care for those individuals. We even took it a little bit further last week and to say, you know, okay, maybe it's not just a widow, but, you know, our younger generation especially, we got to get next to the older generation because there's a lot to be learned. There's a lot of wisdom that can be gleaned from the generations that have served the Lord faithfully before us. And so we said last week, we need to be mindful. We need to be honest about the individuals in our church and in our families. And you know, do we just kind of cast people off? Well, they're older and I'm younger and it's hard to relate to them, or I don't really know what to say or what to do. And you know, sometimes, like I told you last week, sometimes it's knowing you're going out for pizza and calling somebody and saying, hey, you want to go with us? We're going to get pizza. We were laughing Friday night. We went to a baseball game and Marcia went with us. And we were laughing because there was a few families there. There was far more kids than there were adults. And every time you look down, Marcia had a different kid that was either sitting on her lap or sitting in the chair next to her. And I said to Angela, we were talking about it, I said, look at her. She's just surrounded by these kids. And I said, but she wouldn't have it any other way. She loves it. She loves being able to just be with the families that she gets to minister and serve with and pour into their lives. And I know she loves my kids dearly, and I know that you know, my kids aren't the only ones that she loves dearly. And my point is that, you know, we're able to fellowship and share. And sure, sometimes an age gap can be a little bit difficult. What do we say? But listen, I'm going to tell you something, okay? Courtney mentioned just a moment ago, as she was prefacing the song we were getting ready to sing, about struggling with things in her own life and feeling like, you know, this is too small or it's too petty. Well, Courtney, I'm here to tell you, you're not alone, okay? And I say that to say this. Age is really inconsequential when you're just talking about people being people, right? Because I don't care if you're 15, I don't care if you're 85, man, you're still trying to live life. You still have difficulties and you still have trials and you still need people to relate to and to share with, and you just never know what a blessing you could be to someone just by trying to be there. And like I said, you know, it doesn't always have to be in a big formal thing. Sometimes it's just, hey, we're going to get ice cream. You want to go? Or, hey, we're doing this. Just trying to love people. Love people. You know, I've tried to maintain in my 2.5 years since we got here that what do we want to be about at Dale Bible Church? We want to what? We want to love the Lord, live the Word, and reach people. You'll never reach people if you can't love them. And if we go back 2 weeks, we know what we talked about. Paul said, how you view people, how you think about people would determine how you interact or how you behave towards people. Because what you think determines how you act, all right? So how we view our older people in our church is important. How we view the older people in our lives is important because how we view them will determine how we think about them or interact with them. And so Paul will move on from one particular group of people in the church, the widows, to another particular group of people in the church, the elders. And he's already talked at great lengths about the elders. And he's, you know, sifted through the qualifications of elders and ironed some of these things out. And then this morning, we see in our text that he kind of hammers in on, you know, really at the end of the day, it kind of comes down to there's two kinds of elders. There's good ones and there's not so good ones. And Paul is going to help Timothy know how to deal with both kinds of elders. Okay? Now, this morning, I'll be honest, I think we'll look more at, we will talk about dealing with not so good elders, but we're going to look more at what do we do with godly elders. And I think, you know, one of the things I've always said as the pastor is I never want people to think that they can't talk to me or they can't, you know, I'm a regular dude, okay? Just like the rest of you. You hear me say all the time, I'm made of the same stuff that you are, okay? I grew up kind of seeing this hierarchy, if you will, of importance of people. And when I was at church, that dude up front was the pinnacle of that hierarchy, okay? And so with that came kind of a, well, how do we deal with these people? How do we approach the pastor? How do we approach the leadership of our church? And I want to tell you that you just approach us like we're people. You know, I love that people feel comfortable to knock on my door when I'm sitting in my office and come in there or talk to me. I tell all the time, you know, people, you guys know we have a cleaning rotation. People say, do you want us to clean your office? Well, I guess if you want to. I mean, it's just a room upstairs in the church. I don't care. It's not the Holy of Holies. You know what I mean? And I'm by no means the high priest. Right? I'm just trying to love Jesus and serve people in the same ways that I hope you are. God, you know, he has gifted us differently in different ways, but I want to talk this morning about kind of how do we approach our elders and our pastor, right? And I want to tell you, it's probably not much different than what you already do, but let's see what Paul has to say about it. Won't you guys stand with me, and we'll read our text together this morning. I'll start reading in verse 17 of 1 Timothy chapter 5. Paul says this, "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, 'You shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain,' and the laborer deserves his wages. Do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all so that the rest may stand in fear. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of the elect angels, I charge you to keep these rules without prejudging, doing nothing from partiality. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. The sins of some people are conspicuous, going before them to judgment, but the sins of others appear later. So also good works are conspicuous, and even those that are not cannot remain hidden." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again today for your word. God, I just thank you that it has withstood the test of time and that there is great truth and meaning and application for us today in 2017, just as there was for Timothy as he ministered in Ephesus. And so, God, I pray that you would just open our eyes today. I pray that you would help to promote and cultivate a spirit here of unity in this body, a spirit of transparency, that the people would feel comfortable talking to the leadership of their church and engaging them and interacting with them. Father, I thank you for those who serve in the many capacities. And God, I just pray today that, again, you'd speak to us through your word, that you would challenge us, but that also you would bring encouragement and comfort. God, we want to give you all the honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So if you're not, look, you read verse 17, and that's why Kevin and I were talking about something this week, and I said, to be honest with you, let's wait and talk about it after church, because I'm not going to lie to you. This is a tough passage to work through as a pastor, because the first thing that Paul says is you should honor your elders, and those who preach and teach are worthy of double honor. Okay? Now here's where I find it's a little bit easier to work through this in a practical sense this morning. When I look at verses 17 and 18, here's what I see. I see Paul telling Timothy, you got to care for your elders. Care for your elders. And so though Paul is talking to Timothy as a pastor who's dealing with elders, some who rule well and some who are not ruling very well, Paul tells him, listen, you got to care for them. You got to care for them. And what does that look like, right? Everything, I'm here to tell you something. Sadly, there's kind of a stigma in our culture today, right? That when people seek to promote or advance the gospel, you'll see this a little bit this week in your quiet time as we start 2 Peter, the false teachers, they were seeking to do it for financial gain. They were taking advantage of people. They were misusing people. We have every reason to believe that that's what these elders who were not really ruling well were doing, specifically in regards to their dealings with the widows. Okay, this is why we said what we said months ago now, back in the first part of 1 Timothy. And so the reality is that there are men and women who claim to be called of God to preach and teach and do it for all the wrong reasons. I mean, really, at the end of the day. But here's what I want you to understand this morning. Obviously, we are all in agreement today that any adult with a family seeking to make ends meet has to earn a living. Okay, that's fine. We agree on that. Let's keep going. Because this verse says so much more than just pay the person who preaches and teaches. Okay, what does he say? He says, let those who rule well be considered worthy of double honor. Well, I got to thinking about this and kind of breaking it down. There's a lot of debate that goes into what does Paul mean by honor and double honor? By honor, does he mean, you know, respect and credibility, and then double honor, like an honorarium? So you put them together and you got your elders who preach and teach are worthy of a double honor. Well, I'm just going to flat out tell you, one of the best things you can do in caring for your elders is just to respect them. Respect the ministry that they fulfill. Respect the ministry of the serving that they do in the body. Right? Like, we are in agreement here this morning that the elders and the board, we'll even extend this a little bit, of Dale Bible Church have been raised up by God to serve this body. And the absolute best, listen, I'm not trying to bite the hand that feeds me, okay? But the best thing that you could do for me as your pastor would be to honor me as your pastor. It's not just about writing me a check. It's about believing the things that I say, respecting me as a person, respecting me as your leader, following me as I try to lead. You notice I said try? Because I need some grace. I need your guys' mercy. When I think about honoring your elders, this is what I think of. That this is a part just as much as paying the leadership of your church as it is supporting them and encouraging them as they lead. Now, I'm gonna get real personal and specific to the men for just a minute, okay? Now, I'm thankful for the body of Dale Bible Church, okay? But I don't have the men of Dale Bible Church beating down my door to serve in official capacities in Dale Bible Church. Practically, you know why that is? Because our lives are busy, because ministry is difficult, because serving is not always easy. It takes sacrifice. Sometimes, again, it can be difficult. And so here's the reason I say that. I'm not trying to out anybody. I don't have anybody in mind. My point is simply this, okay? Those who do serve deserve your honor. The men who lead Dale Bible Church is elders, and I lump our board in there together, and you can even take it a step further and say our board consists of elders, deacons, and we have deaconesses. Listen, they're serving this body. They're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And the best thing that you could do is recognize their service by supporting them in their service, by encouraging them in their service. There's a whole lot of stuff that gets done in ministry for ministry to work that is mundane and behind the scenes. There's a whole lot of things that get done in ministry, like I said, that can be difficult, that can be less than fun, less than glamorous. We want to honor those who serve in various capacities, right? Now, again, this whole thing is kind of awkward. Because I'm standing up here telling you, y'all need to honor me. You know, that's weird, right? Because I don't believe that you should honor me because I tell you to. My prayer is that you would desire to honor me as your pastor because I lead well. The jury's out. You know, I don't know. I just told my wife about a week ago, man, I'm still trying to figure this out. And here's a little insight. Till the day I die, I'll be trying to figure this out. But with the help of God, I'm doing it the best that I know how as the one that God has called to lead Dale Bible Church. And I serve alongside some men who are doing the best that they know how. And the best thing that we could do, that you could do, us as a collective body, is to honor those who are doing the best that they can and as faithfully as they know how to serve. And so, yes, in sometimes, in some capacities, that does look like a paycheck. It does. But it's so much more than just a paycheck. So we got to care for our elders, verse 17 and 18. Verse 19 to 22, I want you to see, you got to provide accountability for your elders. Now, I recognize that this isn't just, you know, everybody in the pew can't just come up and want to provide accountability for the leadership of the church, okay? Sometimes this has to happen right within the leadership itself, okay? But one of the things that is missed today, and I promise you this, okay, is missed in churches today is the reality of something I preach all the time. I am made of the same stuff you are. And that's why when you see men fall from grace, it's so crushing to people. Because they've been put on a pedestal, or they've been lifted high, or they've been revered as something different or something special. I am here to tell you right now, first thing this morning, that your pastor needs accountability. Your pastor needs people pouring into his life as much as he's pouring into other people's lives. This is a reality. Why? Because I'm made of the same stuff you are. I read a book shortly after Bible college that I was ashamed wasn't required to be part of the curriculum in the pastoral program. It was called Dangerous Calling. If you like to read and, you know, like I said, maybe you're looking for something to read, I would encourage you to pick up the book entitled Dangerous Calling by Paul David Tripp. And this is a man who's a pastor, author, speaker, all this kind of stuff. And he writes this whole book on the dangers of pastoral ministry. And a lot of the dangers center around the relationship between the church and the pastor. The expectations and kind of in some ways, the lack of a better term here, the blindness of the church in regards to their dealings with the pastor. Like, how many of you, honestly, don't nobody raise your hand, have ever thought about who does the pastor talk to if he's struggling with something? Because we all know who the body talks to if they're struggling with something. Well, who's that? The pastor. So you can imagine, sometimes you can imagine why the burnout rate in ministry is high. Because you have these men who are always, listen, don't get me wrong when I say this, I love to do nothing more than to sit and to just seek to pour into people's lives from the Word of God. But I would be lying if I told you it's not exhausting. I would be lying if I told you it's not exhausting. It absolutely is exhausting, but I also view it as the greatest call in the world, okay? But what happens when the pastor needs some accountability? What happens when the pastor needs someone to confide in? What happens when the pastor's marriage is struggling? What happens when the pastor's kids are out of control? Now, I'm not saying those things because that's happening to your pastor, but I'm saying those things because it's not beyond happening to your pastor. And where does he go? Who does he turn to? Right? We gotta be honest about the reality that our pastors, our leadership, they need some accountability too. They need to have individuals that they can confide in. And we'll talk a little bit about what that looks like on your part in just a minute. Okay, but we all need accountability. We all do, even me as the pastor. But you see, we see something here that Paul talks about that I pray doesn't happen, okay? And this is the rebuking of leadership. And he says, look, there's times when this has to happen. Again, Paul is encouraging Timothy on how to deal with some men who are not leading very well in the church. Okay, they're manipulating people, they're deceiving people for their own gain and their own means to get ahead. And Paul's telling Timothy, listen, when that happens, you got to charge your two or three witnesses. When they're sinning in public, you got to deal with it in public. But here's the thing. You know why pastors and elders need accountability? So that you don't have to rebuke them in public. Because what does he say? He says, if they persist in sin, then rebuke them in the presence of all. When you have that accountability that helps to challenge you and encourage you and steer you clear from sin, unrepentant, willingly living a sinful, lavish lifestyle, you have to be brought before the church. But accountability helps prevent that. And here's the thing, that's true in all of our lives. One of the things I've always said that I think makes Dale Bible Church unique is I have never been in a church where so many people stick around after church. I mean, I hope we never have to get anything done in here on a Sunday afternoon, because when Sunday morning church is over, I mean, you guys are lingerers. That's okay. Because I've always said, why do people not linger? Why do people not allow others to get close? Well, because if people get close to me, they could potentially provide accountability for me. If somebody gets close to me, they might look at me and say, you're an idiot, what are you doing? Hopefully they would be a little more gracious than that. But they might say to me, what is going on? You know what the Word of God says about this, you know. But if I keep people at arm's length, and the extent of my interaction with people is hi and bye, that accountability is lacking. It's gone. And then what happens? 5, 8, 10 years later, you know, somebody gets a divorce, and we say, we don't understand why. They were just so faithful. They were always at church, and they were always here, and everything just always seemed to be together, and everything just always seemed to be working out. We would have never guessed that they were just struggling so greatly in their marriage. Well, that's because we keep people at arm's length, and nobody's there to walk with us along the way and encourage us and say, hey, what's, you know, I'm telling you, one of the things that encourages me more than anything is just when somebody, you know, asks me how I'm doing. Beyond a, hi, good morning, you know, I appreciate that. But you know, just in passing, I know Tuesday I see somebody or get a text message, and I'm not lobbying for you guys to do that. Okay, I don't want it to be superficial. But knowing that people care about you and your ministry and your family and the things that you've got going on at home, they go a long, long ways to avoiding having to rebuke people, particularly leadership, publicly. But we also see that kind of the opposite of things that get you roped into being rebuked. Paul tells Timothy, do not be hasty in laying out of hands, nor take part in the sins of others, but keep yourself pure. You see, there was a little bit of a danger here. I believe Paul was saying, look, some of these elders are buddies of yours, Timothy. They're your friends, and you've built relationships with them. And as a pastor, who would be the hardest person in the world to bring before the church publicly? Well, somebody you've built a relationship with, somebody that you're close with. But Paul tells him, you gotta stay free from the sins of other people, and you gotta keep yourself pure. You gotta honor God. A church discipline is messy. Church discipline is no fun. It's not good for anyone. Not the church, not the people being disciplined, not the community. Do you know what people say about a church in the community that exercises discipline? But when it's necessary, it has to be done. Because the church has to be kept pure. And so we seek to provide accountability for people that hopefully we can avoid getting to these stages. Especially in regards to our leadership. And so here's the last thing that I want to give you most practically in regards to handling the elders. All right? And that is this, verses 24 and 25. I want you to pray for your elders. And Paul says a couple of things here. The sins of some people are conspicuous going before them to judgment, but the sins of others appear later. So also good works are conspicuous, and even those that are not cannot remain hidden. So here's what I want you to understand as you try to figure out how to approach the leadership of your church and how can you minister, what can you do. You can pray for us, and you can pray for us in two regards. The first one is the protection from sin, okay? Especially as the pastor. Now, I know I'm not the only one on our board who seeks to minister with people and deal with, you know, different issues and situations, okay? But again, I'm just going to tell y'all, okay? Sometimes you have conversations with people and you have to discuss stuff that you don't want to discuss. You have to come in contact with things you don't want to come in contact with. You have to engage people where they're at, and sometimes what they're struggling and what they're dealing with are things that you don't want no part of. That was fantastic English. Things you don't want any part of. But that may not make it any less of a temptation. And so Paul says to Timothy, keep yourself pure, there in the end of verse 22, because there's things that you can keep hidden that you will take with you, those who don't rule well. There's things they'll keep hidden that they'll take with them all the way to judgment, but some things will be found out later on. And so you got to pray for, I am pleading with you now and fishing for your attention. Pray for me in two capacities. One, that I would be protected from sin. Not because I'm special, but the greatest detriment to Dale Bible Church would be for me to fall into sin. Not because I'm special, okay? Not because I'm above anyone, but because we all know what happens when a pastor falls. It's devastating. It's devastating. And so you got to know, if there's one person here, again, not because I'm special or super spiritual, if there's one person in the crosshairs of the devil, well, y'all can take encouragement in the fact that it's not you. But the reality is he has many sets of crosshairs, not just one. And the devil's desire would be for the demise of all of us. But especially the leadership of your church, you got to pray that God and the Holy Spirit and his word would protect them from sin. Because they got to deal with difficult stuff. And they got to try to navigate the waters of difficult circumstances and situations. But there's another way that you can pray, not just on the defensive, but on the offensive. You can pray that the leadership of your church, your elders, your pastor, would be geared towards good works. Not because we want to be glorified or we want to be honored for our good works, but because we want to see God honored and glorified. Because we want Dale Bible Church to be known as a place that loves the Lord and lives the word and desires to reach people. And you do that by pouring into people's lives, by loving people when it's difficult. I've told you before, you know, one of the hardest things for me to do in ministry is let people in, because people will hurt you. People are your best friend until you try to provide accountability. And when they are firmly within the grips of the devil, they will spit in your face as quickly as they became your best friend. And so we have to pray. That's why I say we, because I need to be praying these things for myself and the other men that I serve with as well. We need to be praying that we would be geared towards good works, that a spirit of unity would be amongst us, that we would be on the same page, that we can provide honest accountability. Such we can say, man, I'm struggling. My wife and I, we are just not getting along this week, and I'm not really sure why. I know that I've responded inappropriately, or I've got this going on. I don't know if it's stress, and I don't know. But you know, what do we say all the time? Oh, we're good, man. You know? We took a poll, and we just asked the men in the church. You know, it couldn't be unanimous because we know what the answer would be then. But, you know, if you just start asking some of the young men, especially in the church, older men alike, and I should say women, because the numbers are staggering at how rate the numbers of women addicted to pornography in the church is growing. But if you just went around and said, hey, you know, how's your thought life? How's the things you're looking at on your computer screens or your TV screens? And what do we all say? In passing, we just say, oh, yeah, they're good. When we know, okay, maybe we're not addicted to pornography, but we know without a shadow of a doubt this last week hasn't passed without us entertaining something that probably is not good for us. We don't want accountability. We don't want somebody to say, hey, man, that's not good. I was having a conversation with somebody recently. We got talking about TV shows. and a comment was made in regards to it, how was it worded? Something to the effect of it not being pastor approved. And I laughed as if it's approved for the people but not for the pastor. Well, that's ridiculous, right? Like, if it's wholesome and it's good enough for the pastor, it's good enough for the people. If it's good enough for the people, it should be good enough for the pastor. Now, people have different convictions, and I recognize that, but you understand what I'm saying. At least I trust that you do. But brothers and sisters, we got to be a leadership that seeks to remain pure and desires protection from sin, but also that desires to be known for good works. I say often, be known more for what you're for than for what you're against. That same principle applies here. Be known for the good that you do rather than the sin you commit. When people talk about, now this is a personal thing. This isn't just for the elders or the pastor or the board. But when people talk about you, what do they talk about? They talk about the good works that are on display with your life just because you're simply seeking to live them out and demonstrate them? Not for your honor, for your glory, or that you could boast? Or are they talking about, now they may not call it sin, but are they talking about the stuff in your life that you are okay with and deal with and just entertain and have all this stuff going on that at the end of the day is sin? See, only you know the answer to that question. Only I know that answer to the question in my own life. But I know Paul is speaking to Timothy in regards to the relationships that he has with the various people of the church. And whether we're the elders, whether we're the board, whether we're widows, whether we're old, whether we're young, you got to have relationships with people, and you got to have relationships that are built on truth, on honesty, on trust, because this is what affords accountability. I just want to tell you this morning, we talk a lot here about accountability and providing accountability for one another. I just want you to know it doesn't matter today what the issue is in your life. It doesn't matter how embarrassing it may seem to be. It doesn't matter how defeating it seems that it may leave you. A couple things I want you to know. Number one, you absolutely have to have accountability and divulge sin in your life. Okay? You absolutely have to do that. And number two, though there may be great shame in revealing sin, there may be great embarrassment, there may be great, whatever adjective you want to put in there, it pales in comparison to the shame, the hurt, and the brokenness that the sin will leave you in. And so do we want to experience a momentary embarrassment for the sake of restoration and being built up in good, honest, godly, biblical accountability and relationship building? Or do we want to hide in and behind our sin until it manifests itself, as Paul told Timothy, and then leaves us broken? Because that's what sin does. It seeks to destroy you. It's never enough to just dabble. Its desire for you is always the greatest. And so how do you handle the elders? How do you handle the leadership in your church? You care for them. You seek to provide accountability for them. And you pray for them. You pray for them. I cannot tell you enough how much the leadership of Dale Bible Church needs your prayers. And so if all you hear today is pray for your elders, I'm okay with that. Pray for your elders. Pray for your leadership. Let's pray.